Praise the Lord for the five who went through the waters of baptism. Let's praise the Lord once again. As we rejoice here, we join with the joy and celebration that goes on in heaven. And this evening, there'll be three more that will be joining us and having their names assuredly sealed in the book of life. And so if anyone believes in Jesus Christ, but have yet to go through the waters of baptism, then obey the scriptures and do so. Just a reminder to us of what baptism means to us. Just go through a few scripture verses that I feel that we should touch base with. First of all, when we go through the waters of baptism, we are following none other than the example of our Lord Jesus Christ himself. As the Gospel of Matthew tells us in Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to be baptized by John. But John tried to deter him, saying, 'I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?' Jesus replied, 'Let it be so. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness.' Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, 'This is my Son, whom I love, with whom I am well pleased.'" Here is a passage that reminds us that Jesus was sent by God the Father, the Logos, the eternal Word, eternally God the Son, came into this world as a man. He came into this world in human flesh. He came into this world as a human being. Yes, he was God the Son. Yes, he was divine. Yet, he was also a full-blooded human being. And because he is God, he has the authority. He has the power. He has the ability. He has the love to save us. And because he is truly a member of the human race, he has a right to represent us. Here is a mystery. Scriptures say, great is the mystery of godliness. There's some things that we don't understand. So it does not matter whether we understand or don't understand how Jesus Christ can have two natures. The only thing we need to know is to believe in him. Because God says so. God says when Jesus went into the waters and came out of the waters, God the Spirit came upon him and the anointing of God was upon him. That is why he is the Messiah. The Messiah is the anointed one. Jesus Christ was anointed not by a priest with oil, but by God the Father, by God the Spirit coming upon him in the form of a dove. And the voice of heaven, the voice of God the Father himself, declared to all who are present, because together with John the Baptist, there was a crowd. And that crowd heard the audible voice of heaven that says, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him is the favor of heaven." So you can be assured, brothers and sisters, when you went through the waters of baptism a short while ago, that the person that you placed your faith in, the person that you rested your life upon, the person upon whom you believe your eternity is secure, your destiny is sure, is none other than Jesus Christ, Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Remember, if someone asks you, why are you a Christian? You're a Christian because you believe in Jesus Christ. Amen? Why are you a Christian? You're a Christian not only because you believe in Jesus Christ, but because you believe, so you follow. It is useless simply saying you believe, but you don't follow him. As the Apostle James says, the half-brother of our Lord Jesus, he said, the demons believe, but they only shudder. So don't just believe. If you really believe, walk with Christ. Follow Him. Because in Him, you become the righteousness of God. In Him, all your sins are forgiven. In Him, you become a child of God. As the apostle says, to those who received Him because they believe in Him, to them He gives the authority to be children of God. So brothers and sisters, you have gone through the waters of baptism. Say to yourself, I am a child of God. You say, devil, I rebuke your accusations. I know who I am. I am a child of God. For the Spirit of the life has set me free from the law of sin and death. There's now no condemnation. Amen? Hallelujah. So when you go through the waters of baptism, you are following the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. And here it says, our Lord Jesus says, it is proper for us to do this. Why? To fulfill all righteousness. Why? To fulfill all righteousness. Because when we go through the waters of baptism, we are declaring with our outward actions what we believe in our hearts. Amen? The outward waters that, so the outward expression of going through the waters is an inward declaration of the grace of God done and worked in our lives. That is why when the people heard the gospel and were cut to the heart on the day of Pentecost, and they asked, what must we do to be saved? What did the Apostle Peter say? The Apostle Peter said, repent and be baptized. So when we go through the waters of baptism, this is the first step of discipleship. And then the Gospel of John tells us why Jesus came. And so we be clear as to why we believe in our Lord Jesus. Please turn with me to John, the Gospel of John, chapter 1. Thank you. Thanks. Gospel of John, chapter 1, I'll begin verse 29. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. In verse 32, then John gave this testimony. I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, the man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God. Jesus came in obedience to the Father. God the Son came in obedience to God the Father. He came as the suffering servant. He came as the Lamb of God. He came as the perfect sacrifice so that through Him we might be made right with God. Hallelujah. That's why we sing, He is the Lamb of God. Amen? He is the Lamb of God who enables us to be right with God. So if anyone asks you, why do you go to church on Sunday? Why is it that you call yourself a Christian? It is because you know that in Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away all the sins of the world, because of your faith in Him, all your sins are forgiven. Why do we believe in Jesus? Because we know that we are sinners. Why do we believe in Jesus? Because we know that in Jesus Christ, all our sins are forgiven. Yesterday's sins, today's sins, and even tomorrow's sins. Hallelujah. Every time we know we have done wrong, we just come to God and ask for forgiveness. What is it to be a Christian? to be a Christian is to know of the love of God. Amen? God so loved us. Say, God so loved me, that he sent his one and only Son into this world to die for me and for every sinner. Whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. If you have believed, you see, if I have believed, I shall not perish. I have eternal life. We shall say what God says, right? This is known as confession of faith, to say what God says. Because God the Father, out of love, out of grace, out of mercy, sent his one and only Son into this world to be the Lamb of God, to be that one perfect sacrifice that would cancel all sin, all shame, all hurts, all pains. In Christ, there is peace. In Christ, there is peace. It does not mean that we are perfect. It simply means that we are forgiven. And what should our response be? As we have told everyone who goes through the baptismal class, you'll be given some scripture references. One very early one will be Matthew 10, verses 32 to 33. Matthew 10, 32 says, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." Here is a requirement of the scriptures, that we publicly identify ourselves, that we dare to say that we believe in Jesus Christ, we belong to Jesus Christ, and we will live for Jesus Christ. And it's not just a confession of faith and saying it. It is also a confession of our lives, because true faith is seen in how we live. Faith without action is dead. It is not real faith. If there is true faith, it will be seen in the way we live and act. Not a mere confession of our lips, but a confession of our lives as well. So here it says, "But whoever disowns me before men," how do we disown Jesus? We don't go around and say, "I do not believe in Jesus, I do not believe in Jesus," but in the way we live. We say that we are Christians, but we live the non-Christian way. We say we belong to Jesus, but we do not do what he tells us to do. In that way, we disown Jesus. We disown our claim that he is our Lord, he is our God, he is our Savior. The modern church is weak. Why? Because many claim to be Christians, but they do not live the way that Christ has called them to live. Modern vernacular, they're humbugs. Here we are reminded, "Whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven." That is why we are told that we are to live by faith. The Apostle Paul, as most of the life groups are going through the book of Romans, the first chapter tells us that the righteous shall live by faith. From first to last, it is by faith. From first to last. Not just on the first day when you went through the waters of baptism, but on the last day when we step through the door of death and into the presence of God, into eternity, if we are found to have continued in our walk of faith in Christ. Matthew chapter 24 reminds us. "Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations. And then the end will come. Here is a reminder as well as a warning as to the purpose and the meaning of the new life that is in Christ. It is about loving God and keeping on love for God, even though the love that others may have for God begin to grow cold. Hello? Here it says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. May I ask you, how much is your love for Jesus? Has your love for Jesus grown cold? The Bible says we should be aglow in the Spirit. We should be loving God with all our heart and soul, all our soul and all our mind and all our strength. We should be zealous for God, serving the Lord in the fervor of the Spirit. The fire of God should be upon us, not just going through the motions and from time to time thinking of doing this or doing that for God. Our daily walk with God should be one constant desire to serve God. As Jesus came to serve, when we follow Jesus, we should be servants of God. Not just saying, well, from time to time, I'll donate my time, I'll donate my money, I'll donate my resources. If you're thinking that way, then you're not doing what God wants you to do. Because he says, as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the children of God. So each and every day, we should set our hearts on being led by God. Because we belong to God. Why? Because those who do not love God will soon lose their love for God. They'll be more concerned about doing things that pleases them. But the children of God are concerned about pleasing God, not about pleasing themselves. So many please themselves and God is only a hobby. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But brothers and sisters, especially the five who just went through the waters of baptism, may you be a good reminder to every one of us that you are on fire for God. Amen? And that your love of God will not grow cold. And you will help us to stay warm and in fact on fire. And verse 13 is a reminder. Why? Only those who stand firm to the end will be saved. It is not once saved, always saved. That's the lie of the devil. The scripture of the Lord Jesus Christ says, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. And so, how should we maintain and continue this faith? It is from first to last. And so the Apostle Peter tells us in Acts chapter 2, which I've already mentioned to you before, Acts chapter 2, I'll read to you verses 32 and 33, or I'll start with 31. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. In this passage, Paul was explaining to the Jewish people who had gathered in Jerusalem to celebrate the day of Pentecost. And they happened to be there and heard the wonderful thing that happened when the Holy Spirit came upon the 120 believers. Here, in these few verses, we are reminded of a number of things. Number one, the God that we believe in Who is the God that we believe in? The God that we believe in is the God that raises people from the dead. Hallelujah. Though we die, yet shall we live. This is the wonderful news, because Jesus Christ was buried on a Friday and he rose from the dead on a Sunday. He did not die for us and stay dead. Our Lord Jesus died for all our sins, all our shame, all our hurts, and all our pains. And having died for us, wiped our slate clean, he rose from the dead victorious over sin, victorious over death. So we believe in a God who is able to raise the dead. Amen? Our God is the only God who can give life, because he is the only God who can raise the dead. As Jesus was risen from the dead, and his resurrection is the most powerful declaration, the most clear evidence that God has revealed to humanity, that he is the Son of God, that what he says is true, because he conquered sin, he conquered death, and he said, I will come alive. And on the third day, he rose to life. And our God, therefore, the God that we believe in, the God that we will stand firm to the end, the God that we will want to live with and love with all our hearts and all our minds and all our soul and all our strength, is the God who is able to give us life, because he is able to raise the dead. Hallelujah. This is our God. And we who are Christians, if someone asks you, what does it mean to be a Christian? To be a Christian is someone who knows the love of God. Amen? What is this love about? It is about knowing the love of God. And because I know the love of God, I now have the power to show the love of God. Because here it says, Jesus Christ came, rose from the dead, and exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, upon whom he baptizes all who believes in him. And when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, we are filled with the Spirit of God. We are filled with God himself. And God is love. And therefore, we are able to love. We have the power. The difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that a Christian is able to love his enemy by the power of God. So let us ask ourselves once again, do I know my God? Is my God truly Jesus Christ, the Son of God? If he is, may you say today, Lord, once again I come to you and say, be my Lord, be my master, rule over my life. Lord, I surrender my life to you. Not just bits and pieces, not those moments that I can spare, but Lord, take all of me. Take all of me. Lord, I want to surrender my life to you, because it cannot be surrendered to any other better pair of hands than yours, because you are the God who has the power to raise the dead and give us life. And Lord, we can trust our lives into your hands, because you are the God of mercy. You are the God of love. To be a Christian is to know of the love of God, and to know of the God who is love.